With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
William!
What?
We're here!
Are we?
I mean, we've been here for a while, but now we're now officially here in terms of being recorded.
We've just been chatting, but now they're gonna record us chatting this time.
What's been going on? We've had some very, very shocking weather this morning.
Rain like you've never seen.
Yeah.
Rattling off my roof tiles.
I call it the end of the world weather, that kind of rain you get in LA. It doesn't tend to rain at all in LA, and then when it does, it's cats and dogs, isn't it?
When it does, I always imagine you just screaming and ripping off your top and just running around the garden.
Do you
do that?
Yeah, I do. I like to. Yeah, just with my clothes below the waist, but above, naked as the day I was born.
Just your t-shirt folded neatly on the sofa there.
I have a garden, which throughout most of the year, I always look at it and think, oh, I'm so sorry that I can't get enough water your way, because even if you're watering the garden, which I do, the sun burns it off very quickly. But on a day like this, oh my garden's glorious. It's like you can almost like see it breathing. You can't. That's just drugs.
Yeah.
But it's almost as if you could. You
know that's amazing.
Yeah. Hey, we've had some correspondence. We should jump right in because this is going to be a packed show. We've got a guest. We've got things to get through. Shall we do some housekeeping?
It's non-stop, Dom.
I know.
Housekeeping! How much fun are you to keep a house so clean and true?
Peeling the onion.
Shall I read the long one?
Please do it, Dom.
I know you struggle to read. This comes from Hope.
What a lovely name.
Yeah, in Denver, Colorado. Lovely. Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Hope says, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I enjoyed hearing about the mysteries of the universe you were interested in solving and Ali's interest in the Dyatlov Pass incident. It made me think of a mystery I'm very curious about, and maybe Dom's animal expertise can lend some context to it. Who knows?
Who knows?
Have you heard of the bulls found dead in Oregon farms? Many young, healthy bulls have mysteriously showed up dead on the ranch, drained of blood and with body parts precisely removed. They haven't been in tracks found around the bulls or teeth marks. That probably doesn't make sense, but that's okay. Any other marks that could have been used to extract the blood? Stories like this have shown up in recent years, but it sounds like similar stories have appeared for centuries all over the US for different large animals, and they gave us a link there. Now, this is the first time I'm reading this, but drained of blood and with body parts missing. Body parts, yeah, William, please.
I think I know.
Go on.
Vampira.
What the bat?
Yeah, just vampires.
Oh, just actual vampires.
Actual vampire. That's the only explanation. When you take away all other options, what you're left with
is a vampire.
Is the truth, which is a vampire. Vampira.
A vampira. And their preferred way of getting blood is from cows, male cows, not humans now. They've moved on.
They'll take whatever they can get. Your vampires, you see. It's a sliding scale.
Yeah.
All the way from from chickens.
Yeah, they'll drain a
they'll
chicken's
drain a chicken
blood.
To a virgin as their number one choice.
They do love them. Now, what about if they're struggling? Would they go for like a bee or a wasp? Would they suck all the blood out?
There's not much eating in a bee for a vampira.
Why are they taking body parts, and what body parts are they taking?
Well, they're taking that. You know, you always say that when we do Billy and Dom Eat the World, and I say how useful is the food, and you always think, can I take it with me on the train or that?
To a football game.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're taking a leg with them, and they'll suck the blood out of that later.
Oh, okay, nice. Nice. So, like, stuff for the journey back home?
Yeah, they'll stick it in a big Tupperware.
Yeah.
And then...
It'd have to be a big one, wouldn't it? And then are they flying home? Because they are half bat, aren't they?
Well, not with Tupperware.
So you'd have to walk home. So then if they're getting found by the police on the walk home. I would say they're probably covered in blood, right? Because they just drained an animal of its blood.
Yeah.
Carrying a large briefcase size
Tupperware.
See-through Tupperware of a cow's leg.
Yeah, for sucking later.
Right, and no one knows about this?
No one takes much notice.
No. Really? Do you think if the police did find him, they would probably suck the policeman's blood?
And then maybe put a leg in a Tupperware, take that with them.
Hope, I think we've solved it. It's
done it.
Vampires. All right, Billy, over to you. Another Dyatlov Pass incident.
Oh, Dyatlov Pass, as we talked about. So, you know, I hope everybody's following us every week. Otherwise, this will make no sense.
Yes.
Last year, a very compelling theory was set to solve the enduring mystery of the Dyatlov Pass incident.
Oh.
Where, in 1959, 9 experienced hikers died on the slopes of Kolat Siachal Mountain. Mm. Death Mountain, as it's known. The hikers, the study put forward, were caught in a rare slab avalanche.
Mm.
Now, Soviet authorities at the time established that 3 died due to physical trauma, the others from hypothermia. Being caught in the avalanche is a good explanation. Hitting a third of the group while the rest met their demise as they fled in unsuitable clothing.
Unsuitable clothing, what, like lederhosen, maybe a pair of cycling shorts?
Well, it could be anything. It could be anyway, an evening
like
gown.
Green on red, which you should never do.
Yeah, red and green should never be seen, except on an Irish queen.
Oh.
So while the explanation fitted the peculiarities
good
of the case,
for a Scottish person to say.
Not everyone was convinced. The main criticism was that avalanches were not seen in this mountain.
Mm.
Well, since the publication, authors Johan Guam and Alexander M. Puzrin conducted 3 more expeditions to that mountain and found video evidence of 2 recent avalanches. So I think if you look in the Communications Earth and Environment Journal, you'll see that it could well have been an avalanche.
Are you saying that we've just solved the Dyatlov Pass incident?
Yes.
Kennedy next. Now.
We're through the looking glass here, Tom.
Yeah, we are. Now we've had, what's this? This is regarding Twist on Mystery by Bob Wade. I don't know. Let me give you the monkey's paw twist.
Do it then.
You can turn into anything, but you'll only be able to do it once. Interesting. You can be a dragon, a dust mite, an elephant, anything. But choose wisely, because once you make that choice and change, you are stuck as whatever you've changed into and cannot change back. So you and I can turn into anything, but only one time.
Tom, do it.
Can't be another human. Should we say that otherwise?
Yeah, otherwise, you know what I mean? I'm going to choose.
Go on, because I'm still thinking.
A blue whale.
Whopper.
I want to be the biggest thing that has ever been.
Mm. And really no predators once it gets to adult size. As a kid, it does have some predators.
Yeah, but who's going to attack a blue whale? Like a killer whale?
Yeah,
I would swipe it away.
Well, the mum's generally with the kid, so the mum would give it what for.
Yeah, and if anything, I would just dive deep, 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 deep,
deep. Can you do the what?
And I'd go right down deep, Dom. Well, there's no fish except ones with just that are a mouth and a light.
Mm, and there's those animals that go.
What are those?
It's nondescript, but right at the very deep bottoms of the sea, there's a thing. It's got like a thing here.
Yeah.
And if you get
an eyelash.
Thing, and if you get close to it, it goes. Scary, but go on.
Right. So, but I could go anywhere.
Well, no, you can go to like Debenhams or like Miss Selfridge. You mean any body of water?
Salt water.
Venice Canal, salt water, yeah.
They don't go into Thingney, do they?
No.
Into just normal water.
And you see how whales, cetacean whales, swim like this.
Yeah.
But fish, as we know, swim like this.
Yeah, that's how you know.
Do we know why whales swim like this, which is a mammal?
Because, why they do it?
Why? What's the reason? Because why wouldn't you swim like that if you're a whale?
Serpentine movement is one of the most satisfying movements in nature.
Yeah, and just watching
your
hand. So
what's that one called?
I don't know.
Because that's the way Thingney, the man from Atlantis, swims.
Right. Mermaids as well. And mermen, I'd assume.
Why do they? I don't know. Don't.
Because whales used to live on the land. And this is them running.
It's
true.
No!
Whales evolved from being a land-dwelling creature and made their way into the ocean, not the other way around.
A And most other things did it the other way around, am I right?
Well, some of them did. I mean, most life on Earth began in the ocean.
Right.
But so ultimately, if you go all the way back,
right,
probably the forefathers of a whale began in the ocean because all life began there.
They came out for a while.
They came out.
What size were they?
Oh, they're whoppers. They became terrestrial. Then they made their way back into the ocean. And you can find the remnants of legs in Wales.
Yeah, the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, I've not picked mine. So you'd be a blue whale. Give us some of your blue whale stats.
What?
Stats. Come on, you know a few great stats about blue whales.
Blue whale's heart is the size of a Volvo.
I think it's a Mini Cooper, but man, fair enough.
Its tongue is the size of Mexico.
Sure.
Is that true?
A bit smaller. A grown man can swim down its blood vessels.
Yeah, but they never have.
Mm-hmm.
And it can hold its breath for over 100 years.
Incredible. And being the biggest animal on the planet,
yep,
they can't eat anything bigger than a tennis ball.
And they're the biggest that's ever been.
Yeah.
So it's not just the biggest now.
No, no.
Bigger than all the dinosaurs.
Not put together.
No.
But individually.
Individually. Yeah. Individually, the biggest animal that has ever been on this planet.
Yeah, because it is water is the only thing that would allow that animal to sustain that size. That's why the African elephant, the biggest land-dwelling creature, you couldn't get anything bigger than that because its bones would fracture on Earth. But in the water, as we know, looks after you.
Yeah, it's buoyant.
Buoyant. Right, so you turn into the blue whale. My goodness, I would turn into... Oh, that's tough.
Choose well because you can't come back. You can't come back from it. It's the monkey's paw experiment.
I'll probably say a golden eagle. Large bird, not too many predators, lives in the highlands of Scotland.
Oh.
Big, you know, almost effortless flight.
How high can they fly?
I would say like 20 feet, 22 feet.
Can they fly fast?
It's not the fastest bird of prey. That's the peregrine falcon. But, yeah, but extremely graceful, no predators. Yeah, just flying. Come on, flying?
Yeah, beautiful.
Are you kidding me? Hey, thanks, Bob Wade.
Yeah, that was good, that.
We've had some misheard lyrics.
We like this.
We've got a few here. Go on, you go first.
Right. You know when La Isla Bonita is playing and it's Last Night I Dreamed of San Pedro, as you know, Dom.
Mm-hmm. Madonna,
this person, and we don't have the name, says... Last night, I stepped on a Lego.
Last night, I stepped on a Lego. Lovely stuff. This from Not All Is Wonderful at YouTube. My favorite misheard lyric came out of my 8-year-old's mouth.
Yep.
At the time, but she's now 16. Instead of, hit me with your best shot by Pat Benatar, she thought it was, hit me with your pet shark.
Oh, that was good, actually.
Yeah, it's good, that.
Dom.
Last one.
All right. It's one from Stevie Nicks. And this is Dread Pirate Robert, who said, for the longest time, I thought the song White Winged Dove by Stevie Nicks was One Winged Dove.
It would only be able to fly in circles, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he always thought that was very strange and cruel.
Very sad. we've also got some questions. No more tongue twisters this week, so send them in because you love the tongue twisters.
Right.
Question here from Lenny in Surrey. He's age 13.
Hey!
Excuse me. Hello, Lenny. So my dad used to have butter on his Weetabix for supper. So are there any other strange things you have put butter on? And how else do you like your cereal? Dom, how do you feel about your character Beaumont Kin being partially cut from Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker? And do you think J.J. Abrams will ever release the director's cut you asked for? You know, most characters get partially cut, don't they?
Yeah, it's annoying.
You don't tend to get all of your stuff in there. Obviously, I would have liked to have seen more.
Yeah,
but that's just the way it goes. I was only in the last story in that trilogy and they had to finish off a whole bunch of other stories. Do I think JJ will release the director's cut? Well, JJ doesn't own the movie. That's owned by Disney. So that would be more of a Disney question.
Yeah, do you think Mickey Mouse will ever release it?
Should we say maybe?
Yeah.
Let's say maybe. And then is there anything strange that you put butter on and how else do you like your cereal? I sometimes like my cereal dry. Do you ever do that?
Only if I take a handful
of it. That's what I mean. I'll have the box next to me and I'll have like handfuls of maybe Magic Spoon cereal.
It's delicious.
Freebie there, Magic Spoon.
There you go.
It's very good. strange things you put butter on.
This has gone back to like the first episode of The Friendship Onion. We talked about butter then.
Did we?
Yeah. Way, way back. And
you put it on your back?
No, never. I like butter, Dom.
Oh, I like butter.
I do like it.
Remember my mum telling me like 10, 15 years ago, if she could eat anything with no consequences, bread and butter. And I thought, it was a bit boring. And now I think bread and butter.
I mean, good fresh bread.
That bread that you bake with some butter melting on
top. I'm going to bake that tomorrow.
It's delightful. Isn't you don't that mind lovely? Me saying that. It's delightful.
With a nice, good butter. Good butter.
We all love fizzy drinks when we were kids, right? But we've come to learn that fizzy sodas and sugary drinks are probably not good for you. But there is a new kind of soda, and it's called Olipop. It tastes just like the sodas that we all grew up with, but unlike other sodas that are full of sugar, corn syrup, and artificial ingredients like aspartame, Olipop is made with natural ingredients that are actually good for you. Olipop is the fastest growing functional beverage brand in America. They have delicious nostalgic flavors like vintage cola, classic root beer, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla, strawberry vanilla, and their newest flavor, classic grape. They use functional ingredients that combine the benefits of probiotics, plant fiber, and botanicals to support your microbiome and benefit digestive health. 90% of Americans consume more than the USDA's daily recommended added sugar intake, which is 30 grams. Sweetened beverages, like fizzy drinks, sodas, are the leading source of added sugars in the American diet. Receive 20% off plus free shipping on your order. I recommend trying their variety pack. This is a great way of trying all their delicious flavors. Go to drinkolipop.com/onion or use code onion at checkout to claim this deal. That's drinkolipop.com/onion. Olipop can be found in over 8,000 stores across the country, including Kroger, Target, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and Wegmans. Health is much more than diet and exercise. Research increasingly shows that a healthy gut microbiome is crucial to a healthy life. Pendulum Glucose Control is the first and only medical probiotic clinically shown to help manage type 2 diabetes when taken with medication. Over time, people with type 2 diabetes lose the gut bacteria that help them digest fiber and manage blood glucose levels. For those with type 2 diabetes, diet and exercise alone are not enough just to manage it. The best approach emphasizes diet, exercise, and a healthy gut microbiome. If you struggle to manage these levels with diet and exercise alone, your gut microbiome might need attention. Pendulum Glucose Control helps fill in the gaps between diet and exercise. Pendulum's team of scientists, doctors, and innovators isolated the unique strains of beneficial gut bacteria that help people with type 2 diabetes manage their blood sugar levels. If you or someone you love has type 2 diabetes, take control of glucose levels with Pendulum Glucose Control. Use code ONION at pendulumlife.com to get 20% off your first month of membership. That's PENDULUMLIFE.com. Promo code ONION for 20% off your first month of membership.
Hey, talking about food, Dom.
Yeah, go on.
You weren't here when we had the lovely Casper Life on.
The lovely Casper. We did go for lunch, though.
Oh, we did? Mm-hmm. So you met him, and he was kind enough to cook the greatest cake in all Christendom.
Yeah, you said it was. Oh, is that a piece for me?
It's called a dream cake.
Drømmekugel or something like that.
Your
similar.
Danish accent is absolutely perfect, Tom. It sounds like you were born in Copenhagen.
Oh, yeah!
It's all right. Look.
He's dropped it.
Look, it steadied itself there. God. It's like Lego. Hold on.
Are you going to have the big bit?
No, I'll take the little bit.
Have you washed your hands? Because I know you were recently vomiting.
When? How long ago do you want me to...
I mean, I'd say sometime in the last 3 hours. Since you vomited.
I have washed my hands since.
Okay.
But I did go for a pee there.
That's all right.
But I washed my hands there as well.
Listen, we're almost family.
Look here. Really. I'll just use my fingers.
Please. Look at that. Pissy fingers, they call them.
Are you ready?
Yeah, pass it over.
Here it comes,
Now, not only did you describe this I think you gave it a 10 out of 10 for taste, or a 9.9.
I've never given 8 and 10. Nothing's perfect.
9.9. Not only did you give this almost perfect score, but Johnny Clues said it was the best cake he's ever had. Now,
it's been frozen, but it's not frozen now.
Just give me a minute for Pete's sake. Hang on.
Is it going in?
Well, very more, isn't it?
Ah, well, hold on.
Oh, God.
You get the coconut.
Oh, God, damn.
Do you get the coconut?
Oh, I got some coconut.
Do you get the coconut?
Mm, I've got it. Mm. I remember you saying halfway through the bit, you said, for God's sake, please, someone bring me a cup of coffee. Now, I understand now.
Do you get it?
It's got that kind of, the combination of coffee in your mouth. Everything. It's like a wonderful soupy mixture. Oh, that's Moorish, isn't it? Isn't that Moorish?
Isn't it nice, though?
Moist. Oh, you want to talk about moist? And this has been frozen.
It's been frozen as well, Dom, a week ago.
Casper, an incredible achievement. I sincerely hope that he left you the recipe and the method.
Not only do we have the recipe that he gave me, and I think it was from his grandmother or something, but we'll stick it up on the Friendship Onion on our website, and everyone can try and make it and just enjoy themselves,
yeah,
really.
Enjoy it.
I mean, imagine this morning in the rain. You had to go to the store, right, to buy yourself some milk. You'd run out of milk or something.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And you were running, and you're in the rain, Dom. And when you came in, soaking wet, I hand you a towel. I said, there's a nice cup of tea there, Dom, and some dream cake.
Lovely, I'd love that. This is one of the greatest things I've put in my mouth, and I've put some pretty incredible things in my mouth over there.
Isn't that delicious?
Right, though? Nutritious and delicious. I love a coconut too.
What do you think of that? I think you like it.
Am I giving it scores or not?
Well, you don't have to, but do you think you should?
You scored it last week.
Well, go on, give it scores.
We'll do a double episode of Billion Dummy. I'll very quickly give it scores. Taste, I could see why you almost gave it a perfect score. It's incredible. I'm going to say the same as you. 9.9 out of 10. Well, it is a fantastic cake. Looks, it got demoted last week because it does, you know, it's quite a bland looking cake, isn't it? Just
I like the look of it. Sponge. Casper didn't. Mm,
6. And then usefulness. I mean, it's a cake, isn't it, at the end of the day? I wouldn't mind a little dream cake ice cream. Little tiny little spheres of this in a vanilla ice cream. Mm-hmm. So now you've got frozen dream cake.
Which that was yesterday.
8.2.
Not bad, Dom.
I loved it.
Good. Well done, Casper.
I'll finish that as we're talking. Hey, we've got a...
We've got a guest.
We've got another question.
Well... John's saying he's making a helicopter.
John's saying he's doing this. Yeah. Which means wind it up. We had some incredible.
You're talking too
here.
Much, he's saying.
Okay.
He gets fed up with us sometimes.
We've got an amazing guest.
Yeah.
Should we introduce our guest before we bring him on?
Dom, would you please? Wait a minute.
I'll do the first paragraph.
Where's my glasses?
There they are. To your left knee. Right. I'll do the first paragraph and you can do the second. Our guest today, who I'm sure you guys have seen in some of your favourite movies, is Mr. Doug Jones.
Ooh.
And his biography reads like this. Doug Jones, born May 24th, 1960, is an American actor, contortionist, and mime artist. That might be a clue. He is best known for portraying non-human creatures, usually featuring heavy makeup and visual effects. He has most notably collaborated with the acclaimed filmmaker Guillermo del Toro, who was at the Oscars last night, appearing in the films Mimic, Hellboy, Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy the Golden Army, Crimson Peak, and the wonderful Oscar-winning Shape of Water.
Oh, but Jonesy's other roles include... Dom, it's a list.
It's a litany.
Hocus Pocus, Tank Girl, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, Fantastic Four, Ouija, the Origins of Evil, The Bye-Bye Man, The Strain, and of course plays Captain Saru in Star Trek Discovery.
Let's see if we can talk to our wonderful new friend, Doug Jones.
Here he is. What a fantastic guest we've got this week. We've got Mr. Doug Jones. And I'm really looking forward to this, Doug. I've been a huge fan of your work for a long time. And we were very excited when you agreed to come on to the Friendship Onion.
Well, it felt like an odd fit for me, but you promised that it was going to be a good fit. So I have to trust.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if you know, but me and Dom are actors, and we're not very good actors. We're not like you, Doug, but we're very excited.
I'm aware that
we're very excited to talk about your process and some of the amazing characters that you've brought to life. And for me personally, I suppose I would love to like sort of go back to the start. And I know that your background was mime and that sort of stuff. And I was wondering, was that through an acting college or was that just through your own, just something that you wanted to learn?
Well, I went to a state university, Ball State University in Indiana, here in the U.S., mm-hmm. and I learned the art of mime from a mime troupe on campus called Mime Over Matter. It's a play on words mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea that would be early training for what was to come of my career, you know.
Mm. And this school you were at, is this the same school where you were the school mascot? Did that come through the mime group? So what was the mascot called and what was it?
Well, we were the Fighting Cardinals. So it was a big bird suit, a big red bird suit with floppy yellow feet and very skinny bird legs, which I have.
Well done. It
worked out well.
Brilliant. Now, Doug, so before you went to college and school and stuff like that, when you were, as we say in Britain, a nipper, were you interested in acting? Were you interested in films? Was this something that you wanted to do? Like when did the fire kind of kick in for you?
Yeah, that would have been when I was an awkward child, as we all felt like that when we were kids. I didn't know. I thought I was the only awkward child. And so you grow up and you find out everybody felt like that. But I was a very tall, skinny, goofy kid with a very long, skinny neck that was made fun of by other kids. So finding inspiration on television, like with Don Knotts in The Mayberry Show or Gilligan from Gilligan's Island or anybody from The Carol Burnett Show, just funny people on TV were like, oh, maybe that's where I belong. Mm. So that's kind of what my early inspirations were.
So at that point, so as a youngster, you always wanted to be an actor. And then obviously that took you to college. When did you think that maybe you'd like to lean towards more of the physical approach to acting?
I never thought that. I never sought that out, actually. I came out to Hollywood land thinking that I would be a goofy sitcom sidekick. I had very low aspirations. I just wanted to be like a second fiddle on some show, just kind of coming in as the goofy neighbor and say, hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar, do an armpit fart, say something funny and leave. That's all I really wanted. And but then being 6'3 and weighing 135 pounds and having a mime background, the creature effects people grabbed me early on in my career when I was doing TV commercials. Mm-hmm. My first agent saw that contortionist thing on my resume and mm-hmm. mime thing on my resume and sent me out for anything that involved physical tomfoolery or, physical comedy or any kind of costume work or miming work or clowning. That's what they were sending me out on. And those roles often came with a look that was either glued on to you or slipped on and zipped up the back. Mm-hmm. So that's how I kind of got acquainted with the creature effects people in Hollywood, but from doing those kind of commercials early on. And then that's a very tight-knit community. Mm-hmm. So as you guys have worked with many, many actors in rubber bits, that there's the creature effects makeup people are a very tight-knit community that all know each other. And once you're in that community and you get referred again and again and again.
And I think, you know, from watching your characters for years, it kind of made me think of my time at drama school.
Show off.
And there was a class that we used to have, which was psychological masks. So this great teacher would make these paper mache masks, you know, that would totally change your face. And he would make you stare at the mirror for sort of 10 minutes, not, you know, just kind of trying to figure out what is this face doing to my body and how does it change? Mm-hmm. And I might be wrong, you can tell us, but it feels to me, rather than someone just throwing a costume on you, or a prosthetic, it feels like you spend time, your physicality, you can see is influenced by how it looks. It's not like you've, you can tell me I'm totally wrong here, but it doesn't feel like you've created a character and then a prosthetic's thrown on top of it. It feels like you have studied this prosthetic and grew into the body that you then have, or the face that you then have. I'd love to hear a little bit of your how you go about that.
Yeah, the process is all of the above. I have right. to do all of the work that an actor has to do with all the information we get from the script, with the writer's intention for that character, his wants, needs, loves, fears, all those things, and how I interact with other characters. Then when you add a fantastical look to it, that brings a whole other element of information in for what this character is, where he comes from. So even playing human beings, you have to play the character from head to toe, mm-hmm. I believe. So yeah, it would take on a new posture and a new gesturing system with every human you play. So add to that some animal instincts or some alien instincts or things that you have to infuse into this. And the look helps inform a lot of that. Especially if I rehearse, if I read a script and think, oh, this character is going to be doing this with his arms above his head the entire movie, and you get the suit on and it's like, this is all you can do. Mm. Well, then you have to kind of alter what you have, rehearsed or thought in your mind. So, it very much is a community that has to come together to create this character. And I'm just a part of it. Yeah.
Green Chef's keto and paleo options give you the premium proteins and vital veggies you need to conquer your day. With fresh produce, premium proteins, and organic ingredients you can trust, Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well. Green Chef's Mediterranean preferences pack together fresh flavors and premium proteins. Green Chef makes cooking easy so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. Green Chef's pre-made and pre-measured sauces, dressings, and spices get you more chef curated flavor in less time. Avoid long lines at the grocery store. Green Chef is so convenient with pre-portioned, easy-to-follow recipes that are delivered right to your door. Green Chef saves you time by cutting down on weekly meal planning, prepping, and grocery shopping. I recently got an order. The great thing about Green Chef is there's no waste. I got a kind of high-protein kind of box because I was going to the gym a lot. Make all your food, and at the end of your meal, there's nothing to throw away. It's absolutely fantastic. Go to greenchef.com/onion130 and use the code onion130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Go to greenchef.com/onion130, use the code onion130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. It can be hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you have high interest debt, and sometimes it can be even harder to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. We've all been there, seemingly out of nowhere, you get hit by an unexpected expense or bill. When that happens, it can feel like the weight of the world is coming down and it's normal to not know where to turn. Luckily, Upstart is here to help. Upstart powered personal loans can help you pay down high interest debt all online with simple and easy to understand payment terms. Upstart has helped over 1.8 million customers on their path to financial freedom. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. Upstart knows you're more than just a credit score, so rather than looking at your credit score alone, Upstart's model considers other factors like your income, employment, and other information provided in your loan application to find you a smarter rate for your loan. You can check your rate in minutes for loans between $1,000 to $50,000 without impacting your credit score. You can even receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Don't wait and check your rate today at upstart.com/onion. That's upstart.com/onion to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/onion.
And how, over the course of your career, you've worked with a lot of prosthetics. So that's a skill set that maybe you could speak to for people watching the show that might want to be working with prosthetics, whether
creating them or as an actor, what are the things that are helpful to you when you approach a job that does have a lot of prosthetics as opposed to a job that, that has none?
Oh, right. Well, first of all, I get a lot of young actors getting a hold of me on the social media. It's like, I want to do what you do. And my answer is, oh, save yourself. Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. But no, but if it's, if you're either as a performer in a crazy look, you want to, you have to really be, you have to think like an athlete and an actor, because you do, once this look is on you, it might take anywhere from 2 to 7 hours to get you into that look every day. Your energy then has to be up on camera for the next 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you have to get cleaned up for the next 2 hours after that. You may have a turnaround for the next day that is less than ideal. You might sleep 4 hours maybe, and then have to be back at it all over again the next day. So you really do have to be in the best shape of your life, and you know, take care of yourself with all of the physical stuff. You know, hydrate and mm-hmm. take your vitamins and get mm-hmm. your sleep and all that mm-hmm. stuff if you can. But when it comes to the creature effects, the creators of, you know, if you're one of those kids who doodled in your notebook during math class and you're drawing pictures of demons fighting angels, those are the people that usually end up creating the looks that have gone on me. And so I would say keep that artist in you very much alive. Mm. Even if nobody's buying it yet, just keep creating the art because it needs to be made. And when it's good enough, it will be seen, it will be purchased.
Nice. Mm. And what do you think thus far in your career has been the most tricky prosthetics pieces to work with? What's the most arduous job that you've done up to now?
Oh gosh, well, none of them are easy. I just, you know, but mm-hmm. Let's start with an easy one. Like, or as far as like, the more human you are, the easier it's going to be. Such as when I played Billy Butcherson in Hocus Pocus, that was a mm-hmm. human who had been dead for 300 years. So that involved basically head and hands, you know. It was a prosthetic, yes, but it was, you know, just a hollowed out, cheekbony, zombie, dead guy mm-hmm. kind of decayed look mm-hmm. With slip-on gloves, super easy, and a big wig. On the other side of the spectrum would be like something, you know, the farther from human you get, the harder it's going to be. So that would be like the faun from Pan's Labyrinth, where I was in stilts making me 7 feet tall and had ram horns on my head. It was a very heavy costume and makeup combination. Mm. I delineate the two. A costume is something you slip on and zip up the back. A makeup is something glued to you or painted on your person.
Yeah.
So a lot of these characters are a combination of both of those. The amphibian man from The Shape of Water is another example of a combination therein. So those are the more difficult ones that involve mechanics and glued on makeup bits. And I've often had like both of my fishman character, Abe Sapien from the Hellboy movies and the amphibian man from The Shape of Water, had mechanical gills that were right here by my ears. And as they're puppeteered from off camera, they're going, it's just like, and so you really have to concentrate through that.
Yeah.
And try and just kind of make that a part of the fish's ecosystem. It's like, oh, no, this is what he hears. It's like tinnitus in his ears. Right. That's what he has. Okay, I get it. So I can act through that.
I love that. I love the sort of making it work for you on a sort of day-to-day basis that you just make that, oh, yeah, this is a thing that this character has. Like, if we can talk about The Shape of Water, which if anyone hasn't seen it, you should watch it tonight. It's an incredible film.
Yeah, I love the movie.
And how you and the director and everyone involved got that romance to make sense and be beautiful and so touching was really incredible. And I think after that one, I went back and watched a lot of your work again. And that sort of truth and sort of elegance that you bring to characters is really special. And like for that film, thinking about that one, were you in water like a lot of the day? Or was there special effects that they used, I don't know, wind tunnels or something to kind of, to give effects? Or were you stuck in a tank for all day?
It was a little bit of both, yes, depending on the scene. Now, mm-hmm. in the scenes where I was in the laboratory, there was a pool in there. Yeah. That was actual water that I had to dive into, come up out of, be in, live yeah. in for weeks at a time. But the but if I was in a tank with the tank with the glass around it, that would have been a dry tank with me on a seesaw sort of thing, so they could get the floaty action out of me. And they pump some smoke in there, and then rippling lighting effect looked like water. The final scene of the movie where we are floating away into happily ever after together mm-hmm. underwater. That was Sally Hawkins and me in hip harnesses, strung up in a huge studio, also filled with smoke, with a rippling light effect from above, and fans blowing on us to get like a to get her clothing to move, and her hair was pinned up on one side so they could CG the floaty hair thing later.
Wow.
In post production, and to add bubbles in and all that. So we were hanging from very painful hip harnesses for most of that day. Mm. But the bathroom scene where she stuffs towels under the door and floods the room so we can have a little hoo-ha underwater. That was the bathroom set was then rebuilt in a tank that was 8 feet deep. And they did actually fill that with water and film us underwater. So we had to kind of like expel all the air out of your lungs so you can sink and then do your thing. And then hopefully you hear cut over the loudspeaker that's under the water. We kind of prayed for that. Please cut already. Cut, cut, cut.
So it's a combination of a few things. I mean, I remember when we did Rings, Pete Jackson showing us the footage of Elijah falling into the Midgewater marshes and kind of, you know, being in a trance. Yeah, he puts on the ring at that point, right?
I can't remember.
Or maybe he just kind of passes out. And that was all done in a kind of wind tunnel.
And that's what made me think of that, because Sean Astin as well as Samwise, that when he goes in the water, that was all done in a wind tunnel.
So a little bit of slow motion, a little bit of wind, and a little bit of light. And mm-hmm. I remember Pete showing it to us on a tiny little monitor and saying, pretty good, right? And I was like, I remember thinking, yeah, it's good. But I didn't realize what he was saying, which was, there's no water involved. And then he said, that's in a wind tunnel. And I was like, what? That makes no sense. But it's a great trick, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. Because I was wondering, because I just thought, was Doug in water for like 4 months? That would have been hell, especially in a prosthetic. Because how do they keep the prosthetic from like disintegrating or falling off? And I mean, just for that, say that film alone, talk us through what a day would be for you.
Yeah.
Becoming that character. Like, that must have been a long prosthetic.
Well, it wasn't as long as some of them, because I remember that suit makeup delineation. This was more suit with makeup around the face and neck, but the body was slipped on and zipped up. It was so tight and so form-fitting. Every nook and cranny of me was sculpted to. So it fit with such precision that it took 3 grown adults to shimmy this onto me. And that took us about 20 minutes of the start of our day, just to get that on my body. Then the rebuilding of everything else around my head and neck and hands. So that was about a 3-hour makeup process. Then during the day, I actually was able to sit in a chair between takes and shots. And I had a fine backside. I'm not, the design process for this took about a year, because Guillermo del Toro, being the director that he is, the perfectionist that he is, which I really appreciate about him, he wanted this fish man to be so believable as a romantic figure. You know, when I first got this role, he said, Dougie, you're going to be the romantic leading man of this movie. And I'm like, wow, in a fish suit, this is only he could pull that off. So the sculpting job of this character, the colors and shapes that they went through retooling constantly were the lips and the butt were the two areas that needed the most is it right yet? Is it kissable? Is it grabbable? What do you think? So I knew we had, I knew that it was working when I'm on set in my chair between things. And I often would just save my energy for the camera. Like I would often be falling asleep, but I stood up to walk away from our set chairs at one point, and Octavia Spencer, one of my wonderful co-stars, all I heard her say was, So I knew that it worked.
Nice. Love that.
It's a nice seal of approval there.
One of our
co-stars on Lord of the Rings, John Rhys-Davies, who plays Gimli the dwarf, had to wear just a little bit more facial prosthetics than Billy and I. We wore wigs and ears and feet. But John had a kind of, was it a nose over the cheek?
Yeah, and some head, I think. Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, they found out relatively quickly in the rehearsal process that he would have quite a strong reaction to the chemicals needed to either apply the prosthetics or take them off. So then he had to have at least, was it 2 or 3 days off in between?
I think it was, maybe even a week, I think.
Oh, really?
Just to recover, because his eyes would get sore and stuff. Have you... Because obviously prosthetics have changed over the years, Doug, and they're consistently getting better and better. But have you had any strong reactions to prosthetics over the years?
No, thankfully, I've never had any allergies or any problems with that. Now, of course, when something is glued to you and peeled off and glued to you and peeled off or removed, there's chemicals involved and there's going to be some wear and tear over time. But nothing out of the ordinary. You know, in fact, Joan Rivers asked me this very question on the red carpet at the Oscars in 2007 when Pan's Labyrinth was there with 6 nominations. Mm-hmm. And she asked me about this. We're doing a little interview. And she said, I'd wanted to talk to her all my life, by the way. We're all aware who Joan Rivers is, right? And she's a hilarious comedian who was very well known for having lots and gobs of work done, with plastic surgeries and things. So she's asking me, being someone who's worn so much, you know, prosthetic makeups and things, have you ever had any problems with a rash or an allergic reaction to anything and products? I said, well, no, I thankfully I've never had any bad reactions to adhesives or removers or latex products or silicone products. And as I was saying the words silicone products, I'm looking at her precious face just stuffed full of them. So I couldn't help myself. And I said, well, you know what I mean. On worldwide television.
Oh, really?
Thank you. I've been wanting to meet her all my life. And that's what I do to her.
I love it. Well, you recently played a role in Doom Patrol that had a pretty significant amount of facial prosthetics, right?
Yeah, it did. And I've always been kind of interested in prosthetics. And I don't know if you know this, Doug, but me and Dom and the other two Hobbits were in the Guinness Book of Records once for the longest time in a makeup chair for one job, because we were there for about 2 years and we would do 3 hours every morning. So even though it's nothing like some of the ones that you've done, but it accumulated, you know. Mm-hmm. So spending a long time in a makeup chair. And I think I read somewhere, is this right, that you got an award from I don't know who it was from, the makeup union
I
or
did,
something.
Yeah.
It's called the Chair Award.
The chair award was kind of a lifetime achievement sort of thing for someone outside the makeup and hair union that has been in their chairs a lot. So that was quite an honor. They created this award and I was just this year and I was the first recipient of it. So
nice.
Very, 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 very lovely to be recognized by that union of wonderful artists. Yeah. And by the way, you guys may not remember this, but I think I met both of you back in 1999 or 2000. When did the first Lord of the Rings movie come out?
I was doing a lot of drinking then, so
I think it was 2000. I think 2000. I think, yeah.
Was it on a red carpet, Doug? I had to be heavily medicated. I was probably carrying an IV behind me.
No,
was I on Bailey's back?
Right. No, it was at a charity vaudeville variety show. you were in the audience and I was on stage doing a mime act. And I'm sure it was YouTube, because then one of the producers of the show, Marley Shelton was actress. Marley Shelton was producing the event, and her fiance at the time, now husband, Bo, came back to me backstage and said, two of the hobbits from Lord of the Rings would love to meet you.
Right.
And so I actually met both of you.
Yeah.
And you used the F word. You actually used the F word saying like, you were amazing. That was the best thing. That was so funny. It was so sweet of both of you. So I wanted to.
If there's F-bombs getting thrown around and possibly free drinks at the event, it does sound like us, doesn't it?
And there were, yes. Yeah.
Dom, lovely stuff. Well, here we go. It was a fantastic chat.
We might see him on the convention circuit, and that would be fantastic. Of course, guys, remember, if you're enjoying the Friendship Onion and you're not subscribing, why aren't you subscribing? Please subscribe to the Friendship Onion. Give us a nice review and a 5-star rating. You can also leave comments on our YouTube channel. Send us your tongue twisters. Send us your riddles and tongue twisters. We've not had a riddle or a tongue twister for a while, and I love that segment.
I love that. And if you've got a sweary word that you'd like to see in Lord of the Rings, please send us that as well. And if you want to look fantastic, wear the merch. Wear the Friendship Onion merchandise. You can get that at thefriendshiponionpodcast.com.
You certainly can. And if there's any particular food item or beverage item that you want us to check out for Billy and Dom Meet the World, we'll do that too. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week on The Friendship.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Bunyan Toodles.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.